And I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 10, from verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, he, as Jesus, entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So, what is this passage about? Is it about being rather than doing? The tension between resting in God's presence or working and serving and evangelism? Well, I guess it would be quite straightforward to maybe to do that. But I'm not going to do that. I want to take a slightly different angle because I'm sure that the kingdom of God needs both doers and beers. It's funny when you write beers, you realise it's spelled B-E-E-R-S. But anyway, we need beers. You will by the end of it anyway. And I'm aware that we have both represented here. We have people who like to do. We have people that love to serve. That is their kind of identity in being part of the body. And we have people that love to know the presence of God, to dwell on him. And it's not as simple as just saying one is more important than the other. To be or not to be. I was going to say to do or not to do, but Shakespeare got it wrong, didn't he? Yeah. James, you look at James chapter 1, it says, "Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at the mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. But how should we act? When should we be a hearer?" That was me writing that, actually. That wasn't Jesus or James. How should we act? When should we be a hearer and when should we be a doer? I don't think it's black and white. So I want to unpack that a little bit, and I want to unpack it in the context of this chapter. This chapter, chapter 10, I encourage you to go back and read the whole chapter. It's really helpful when you read some passages, particularly if you have a daily reading. Don't just read that little bit. Read the bit before it, read the bit after it. We need to contextualize the word. We need to understand where it's written, when it was written, and the whole story. We get a clearer picture when we do that. In chapter 10, I'm just going to recap over the last few weeks because we've been through it in the lectionary. First of all, we have Jesus sending out 70, or in some translations, 72 people on a mission. He's sending out his disciples, and he tells them how they should be received when they go to someone's house. So it's about hospitality. Listen to verse 5. It says, "Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide." Going to come back to that, but I think that's significant in light of the passage that we've got today. Chapter 10 then continues with Jesus rebuking a number of towns that have rejected him and in a sense have not received the peace that Jesus has brought to them. And his words are very harsh about those cities, about those towns. Even the fact that he's performed miracles there and they've rejected him. And then last week we had the parable of the Good Samaritan. Interestingly enough, on exactly the same road that Martha and Mary lived on between Jerusalem and Jericho. Not a coincidence, it's in the same section. And we have the contrast there between someone who is obsessed with the law and theoretically doing the right thing. The person of the law asks Jesus how we can love our neighbour. And then we have a contrast between those that have compassion and love and love others at their own cost, as the Good Samaritan does. And he does it despite the fact that he's breaking a cultural code. The Good Samaritan, remember, was a Samaritan. He wasn't supposed to associate with the Jews. He wasn't supposed to even touch them. And the reason that the person of the law that walks past and doesn't help is because they have, well, they're either on the way or on the way back from the temple where they've purified themselves and they don't want to touch a person that might be dead because it's going to affect them. It's going to make them impure. And so there's a cultural restriction hindering his behavior. I made references to that last time I spoke. Look at Mary in our passage. She's not supposed to be in the room with Jesus. She's breaking every cultural code there is, really. In their culture, in the Jewish culture, the women had a separate part of the house that they relaxed in. And having said that, this is mealtime, where she was probably, well, certainly according to her sister anyway, was expected to be in the kitchen or serving. But she's not. She's breaking that cultural expectation. And in fact, she's sitting at Jesus' feet, which elsewhere in the Bible, you see, that's a disciple. A disciple sits at the feet of a teacher. And in fact, if you go further, you could say that she was expecting to be taught, a bit like someone training to be a rabbi. Like we read that Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel, his teacher. Women weren't expected to be students. Women weren't expected to become teachers themselves. So she's being radical. She's certainly not being lazy. She's certainly not, just taking time out. She's radically challenging the culture. So I think this passage is more about our attitude, and I think it's about the attitude that we show hospitality and love to. Actually, this probably sums it up better. This is what I think this is about. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? What is your motive? What is our motive when we show kindness to people? What is our motive when we do something for God? When we appear to be serving others and serving the Lord? I think, certainly that's what I got out of this passage when I read it this time. There's nothing wrong with blessing people. There's nothing wrong with serving. That's the way that we show love for others. But what is our motive when we're doing that? What was Martha's motive? I wonder what was going on behind the surface. I wonder on whose terms she was showing kindness. I don't want to be too harsh on Martha. But I just want to think about it for a moment. Let's look at the two sisters, and look at their language and look at their behaviour. So Mary, and just to remind you, Mary is the one that's sitting at Jesus' feet. Mary doesn't speak in this passage. She doesn't say anything. There's no focus on her words. She's simply sitting at Jesus' feet, and she's listening to what he is saying. She's fixed on her guest, the one who's come into her house. And she's focusing on his words alone, not her words. Even, as I said already, to the point that she ignores all of the social and the cultural expectations. And we compare that to Martha. Notice how many times Martha mentions herself. She says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." She comes across quite agitated, quite frustrated, sulky. I know I'm being harsh. Dissatisfied. Bearing in mind, she's in the presence of Jesus. And she's thinking about herself and her actions. I probably am being very harsh, but I just want to make that contrast. So bear with me. But how often do we do that? How often do we come to God with ourselves in mind? How often do we think about ourselves and what we want to get done? I wonder if you've had people round to your house, when you've been a host, when you've had good friends round, maybe when you've had family round, but it gets to about 11 o'clock and you're thinking, oh, when are they going to go? Oh, I wish they hadn't come. So hard work to entertain these people, isn't it? But why do we feel like that? I'm sure you don't, but... Well, and even before they come, we have to get everything so perfect. We have to get the right menu. We have to cook the perfect meal. We have to get the house tidy. And I know I've said this before. They're not coming around to buy your house. And they're not coming around for a perfect meal. You can go to a restaurant for a perfect meal. Well, maybe you can. But our focus should be on spending time with one another. It's hospitality, isn't it? And yet somehow we've created this culture where we have to rush around as the host. We have to do everything. And, you know, I know for a fact that I've had parties, I've particularly something like a barbecue at this time of year, where the host stays the entire day or the entire afternoon at the barbecue and you're just shoveling burgers. And I've been in that situation where I get to the end of the evening and I think, I don't think I spoke to anyone. Or I certainly didn't have a deep conversation with anyone. Should we do it again? Sorry, that'll do. Yeah. I've queued them up. See how quick they can be. Maybe you're not like that, but I just know that sometimes I regret at the end of an evening thinking, why didn't I spend more time with that person? I only see them once a year. And I've spent all evening preparing things and doing things and serving, and I haven't spent time talking to them, finding out what their needs are, you know, asking what their prayer requests are, praying with them, showing genuine love for one another. Just remember Jesus' words at the start of this chapter. What does he say to the disciples when he sends them out? He says, "When you go to a house, proclaim peace to that house, and those that receive it, it will stay with them." I think that's what Mary's got. I think that's what Mary, the situation Mary's in. That's why Mary is able to sit at Jesus' feet. She's received that peace. We did prayer visiting this Friday, and I knew I was preparing this. And so we did that. Every house we went to, before we spoke, as we rang the doorbell, I just declared peace over every household. It just felt really a good thing to do, you know? And the people there can respond. They can choose to receive your peace or not. Most of the time they receive it. Most of the time they're really grateful that you go and you want to pray with them or for them. And sometimes they don't. They hand it back to you. Don't we want to proclaim peace over each other? Don't we want to receive peace when we walk into a house, into a friend's home? And are we prepared to receive it? I wonder if this is the case with Martha. Martha is anxious, she's frustrated, and I'm not sure she's done that. I'm not sure she has received that peace. Undoubtedly, Jesus would have declared peace as he walked in that house. Jesus models everything he does. And so as he taught his disciples, so he would have done that. So as he entered their house, Martha and Mary, he would have said, peace to this house. Receive my peace. And I think that maybe there's something in that, that Martha hasn't done that. She's jumped straight to the tasks that she has to do. Really important tasks, and don't get me wrong. Someone has to cook. Someone has to prepare the meal. Someone has to serve. But before that, I don't think she had set herself in God's peace. We need to be operating out of that peace, not being anxious. And then that peace gives us the strength to then serve. So that's my challenge to us. Do we receive God's peace? When we come into his presence, when we pray, when we have our quiet time, when we read the Bible, do we start off by reeling off our list of prayer requests? Do we get anxious? Do we get angry about other people? Do we compare ourselves to others? Jesus says, Mary has chosen the better part. So let's enjoy being in God's presence. Let's be filled with his Holy Spirit, so that we can serve. As I said at the start, I think this whole chapter is about hospitality. It's about welcoming others and welcoming God himself into our lives. But it's also about a journey. The Good Samaritan, obviously, is part of that chapter. It's about a journey. Jesus, during this whole period of teaching, is on the journey. He just set his eyes on Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And we all know why he's going to Jerusalem. He's going to the cross. He clearly has the peace of God in him. It's the only way he could have done it. He'd set his sight on the cross, but he was completely one with the Father. And so for us, as we are sent on that journey, as Christians, we are called and we are sent. We need to know God's peace before we can then serve and we can go and we can share the gospel. Should we do it again? How deep is your love? Just keep you awake. You know? It's the only thing you're going to remember, but that's all right. That's good. It's a good challenge, I think. When I was doing my training for curacy, I spent some time at Adam Brooks, which is a hospital in Cambridge. And we had some training on conversations, how to spend time with people, particularly in a hospital environment, sitting with someone when they're ill, when they're sick, when they're dying even. And we looked at conversations, and we looked at how to move conversations on, how to deepen our conversations. And I found it really helpful. I found it almost revolutionary, really. Because you realise your default, your norm. I did it this morning. I'm going to have to apologise. I can't remember who it was, but I saw someone this morning. I think it was Dennis. And I said something like, oh, nice weather we're having, isn't it? And I thought, oh, I can't believe I did that. But it's a classic English thing, isn't it? To talk about the weather, you know, it's easy. When I was at Adam Brooks, they were teaching us how to have a meaningful conversation in a short period of time. Normally there's quite a few people to get around. When you're on a ward, you're walking around, you can't spend an hour with someone. But you want to spend quality time with people. You don't want it just to be token. And so we looked at the fact that, you know, talking about the weather, it might be an introductory thing to do. Look out the window, engage somebody. But move the conversation to a deeper level. And we looked at how we do that. We talk about family. How's your family? What family have you got? You start to involve relationships and talk about them. But then you might want to ask them about their feelings. You want to talk about how you're feeling. How are you feeling being in here? It must be difficult. You must be missing your family. How are they feeling? How are they coping? How do you feel about being ill? How do you feel about being away from home? And then, dare I say it, we were challenged to take it to a spiritual level. Do you know, I know a God who loves you and who wants to minister to you, who speaks to us, who heals us. It's a challenge. It's a wonderful way to take a conversation to a deeper level. I challenge you to deepen your conversations this week. Let's do it one more time. How deep is your love? Oh, good bit of echo. I like that. So as I said, I think Mary understood this. She was the one going deep. She wasn't concerned about the surface stuff, the weather, the meal they were going to have, what time they were going to eat, what they ate. I mean, Jesus even says in Luke, a bit later on, next two chapters time, Luke 12, he said, life, isn't it more than just eating and drinking? Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. We need to go deeper. We need to go deeper with one another, and we need to go deeper with God. And so finally, how deep is your relationship with Jesus? Do you just talk about the surface stuff in your conversations with Jesus? When you pray, do you pray about the weather? Do you pray for a parking space? Do you pray for more finances, for God's provision? They're not bad things, but they are just surface things, really. Or do we sit at Jesus' feet like Mary? Do we hang on his every word? Do we soak in his presence? When we read the Bible, do we listen to his word for us? Not rushing away, not speaking, but listening to his words. Because when we do that, we understand what Jesus meant when he said, peace to this house. And if anyone who shares in his peace, then the peace of God will rest on that person. And when we have the peace of God, we're able to serve. We're able to do all those practical things, not out of our own strength, but in the peace of God.